Good evening, and thanks again for joining us for another edition of Gillespie, leading off tonight's Tuesday night powerhouse lineup here on FTRradio.com. I am your host, Josh Gillespie. With me, as usual, is my co-host, Christy Kelly of ChristyKelly.com and HoosierAccess.com, as well as Mark Warner and Mike Jazierski, also of HoosierAccess.com. We have another stellar episode for you tonight. Our special call-in guest this evening will be Indiana State Senator Mike Delf. We have plenty of topics to cover tonight, so let me get straight to the monologue. Now, there's a controversial and very intriguing law that I want to bring up right at the top of the show. This law will require certain individuals to be fingerprinted, positively identified, and be tracked through a comprehensive government database. These individuals have been blamed in the past few years for nearly every financial calamity to befall this nation, and regardless of how you might feel about them, many think that this step is long overdue. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news lately, I'm guessing there's a good chance that you think I'm referring to the illegal immigrants in the state of Arizona. After all, it seems like a logical fit based on what you might have heard about the controversial new law. However, if you guessed that I was referring to illegal immigrants, you'd be mistaken. And shockingly so, because I'm actually referring to a new law that requires mortgage brokers to submit to being fingerprinted and entered into a national database for the purposes of tracking and enforcement. If you find it odd that the federal government is so focused on keeping tabs on mortgage brokers while at the same time literally suing a state in order to not have to enforce federal immigration law, then you're certainly not alone. Now, there's no word on whether any undocumented mortgage brokers will be allowed sanctuary status in cities like San Francisco or Chicago, but doesn't it seem a little strange that our government is so willing to crack down on those, quote, evil mortgage brokers who are ruining our financial system, unquote, while seemingly encouraging illegal immigration? The problem with bringing this often sensitive subject up for discussion is that our opponents immediately declare us to be anti-immigrant bigots in the tolerant manner that many of us have become used to over the years. So let me start off by saying that I'm very supportive of immigration. Immigrants have brought much to this country over the generations, and I, like most of you, am descended from proud immigrants who lawfully came to this country in search of the dream that only America can provide. But that's just it. My immigrant ancestors came here legally, and they respected the laws of this land, and they respected the culture, while at the same time adding their own spice to our national recipe. But beyond even that argument, there's something else that bothers me at this moment, and that is this. The current administration is literally suing a state in federal court in order to not have to enforce federal law. Did you get that? The Obama Justice Department is actually suing the state of Arizona so that this administration will not have to enforce the U.S. Constitution. Wow. Even worse than that, if you can imagine, is that not only is the administration suing to avoid enforcing federal law, the Obama Justice Department is actually encouraging cities across this nation to actively ignore federal law on immigration and become so-called sanctuary cities. Have you heard about these? Sanctuary cities are places in the United States that have officially proclaimed that they will not enforce federal laws regarding immigration. In other words, if you are in this country illegally, then cities like San Francisco or Chicago are completely safe for you. Can you imagine if the city of Indianapolis suddenly declared that no citizen within its borders need to fear, say, paying federal income tax? Doesn't that seem asinine? Is that any worse than what San Francisco and Chicago and other cities are doing? And who will actually be the leader to actually step up and put forth a plan to help fix this problem? Ronald Reagan put together a plan that essentially amounted to amnesty. And as often the case when you accept a crime, we simply encourage more of the crime afterward. George W. Bush danced around it, mentioning several proposals, but never anything concrete. Barack Obama is simply pandering to a base that will, or in many cases already, vote Democratic for generations. We have a major crisis on our hands, and one that will take strong and courageous leadership to solve. As always, you'll find more commentary and analysis over at joshgillespie.net. Now, Mike,
from one immigrant descendant to another, being Scottish and me being German and Polish,
therefore
half of me invades the other half about every 50 years.
Well, that's the funny thing about this whole thing is that, I mean, you listen to us. We have very ethnic names. Gillespie, Jazierski. And, you know, no offense to Christy or Mark, but they seem very Anglo-Saxon in their last names. But,
well, Christy is a married name. I don't know what her maiden name was.
Oh, Kelly.
Oh, that's her maiden name. Okay.
Oh, that's the Christy will be with us shortly, but that I believe is her that is her last name, and Mark, you know, Warner. I mean, really, Mark will also be with us shortly. Here's the thing, is that we have a government that is trying to play two sides of the coin.
Talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Absolutely. You know, all Arizona wanted to do, we know now that a Clinton-appointed judge has basically taken the Arizona law and is not allowing Arizona sheriffs or sheriff's deputies, because we know that you're elected sheriff.
Right.
That they can't ask for papers.
Basically, they've gutted it. Not really gutted it, but they severely crippled it.
They have crippled it, and I know that Governor Brewer, Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona, is appealing the ruling. It wouldn't surprise me, honestly, to see this head up all the way to the Supreme Court.
But I would love to see that court decision come down.
That would actually be a very interesting...
I would just love to see the briefs from Justice Alito, Justice Roberts,
Justice Scalia. I mean, look, we have justices with ethnic backgrounds. I mean, Justice Scalia, Justice Alito, Justice Ginsburg. I mean, she's still there. No, wait a minute.
She's the one going away in favor of this.
No, Ginsburg, I'm sorry. Justice Sotomayor replaced Justice Ginsburg. And it is Justice Kennedy, correct, that is being replaced possibly by nominee Kagan. We'll get to her later.
We'll get to her later.
Anyway, it's an interesting time. And for those of you who are familiar with sanctuary cities, and those of you who aren't, I just want to give a quick history here. All you have to do is just Google.
San Francisco was the first one, I believe.
Well, here's the thing. Cities in the United States, and this is according to the all-knowing, all-trusting...
Wikipedia.
Cities in the United States began designating themselves as sanctuary cities during the 1980s. The first policy was initiated not in San Francisco, but in 1979 in Los Angeles.
Ah.
To prevent police from inquiring about the immigration status of arrestees. The internal policy, Special Order 40, states officers shall not initiate police action with the objective of discovering the alien status of a person. Officers shall not arrest nor book persons for violation of Title 8, Section 1325 of the United States Immigration Code, basically illegal entry. It lists also on the Wikipedia page controversial incidents, and it lists six of them, only going far back as 2008. But the one that really kind of stuck out to me, and one that some of us may have heard of, was in March 2008. Jameel Shaw Jr., a high school athlete, was murdered in Los Angeles by Pedro Espinoza, an illegal immigrant gang member from MS-13. When MS-13, as Mike, as you and I probably know, I believe they've even made their way here into Indiana recently.
Yes.
And he was murdered as he was walking home. It was believed that Espinoza mistook Shaw Jr. for a rival gang member. Espinoza's legal status was not checked, even though he had been arrested for assault and released a day before the murder. Basically, as a result of Shaw Jr.'s death, a new ordinance is being proposed by family members that would allow police in the area to arrest suspected illegal immigrant gang members. In May 2009, members of the Shaw family filed a lawsuit against the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. So, their sanctuary status, sanctuary rules, whatever, these things are being challenged. More recently, just because of controversial incidents like these.
They should be. These cities should be told if we had a president and an administration with some backbone, which we don't.
That's right.
And in fact, I'll say it, even the last president in his administration didn't have much of backbone when it came to immigration.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, the most well-known senator on this stuff is Lindsey Graham. He's affectionately known as Lindsey
Grahamnesty.
And President Bush's plan was, in regards to immigration reform, was basically labeled amnesty by Eric Erickson of Red State. But right now, I want
to listen to.
I want to play a clip for you guys of Congressman Dan Burton of Indiana. He's talking basically about the discrepancies between sanctuary cities and federal law.
Now, at the same time, we have what's called sanctuary cities, cities where illegals are encouraged to go, and they are, in effect, being protected. That is against the law. And so here you have the federal government, the Justice Department, and the president saying, we're not going to go after the sanctuary cities who are protecting illegal aliens that are in this country, and at the same time, they're not going to enforce the law, which says that we've got to protect the border against illegals coming in the first place. It really is a real inconsistency, and it bothers almost everybody who thinks about it to say we're not enforcing one law and we're opposing another law. The government of the United States, the Justice Department, is opposing the very law that they're suing Arizona for in trying to protect that southern border. And at the same time, there is a law that deals with illegal aliens in sanctuary cities, and the federal government will not go after them. And the appearance is the federal government, under the president, President Obama, and the Justice Department, wants to protect those who are here illegally in sanctuary cities, but they do not want to police the border as prescribed by law. That is just dead wrong. It's an inconsistency, and the Justice Department and the administration should be taken to task for this. If I were talking to the American people, I'd tell them to contact their congressman if they're concerned about illegal immigration. We've got 12 to 15 million illegals in this country, and they're being protected in sanctuary cities against the law, and the Justice Department will do nothing about it, and the administration will do nothing about it. And at the same time, because Arizona is experiencing a real tragic situation down there, and they passed a law that is consistent with federal statutes, the federal government is going after them. It makes absolutely no sense, and it begs the issue and the question about whether or not this administration and this Justice Department does want to protect our borders from illegal aliens. It doesn't appear that they really want to do that. And with that, I yield back the balance of my time.
Hey, fellow conservatives, when you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Moco Choco whatever and the Wacko Latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats. Add HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today. You are listening to Gillespie on FTRRadio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie. Our guest this evening is Indiana State Senator Mike Delf. Mike has been a leader in Indiana on immigration reform, though he's met many obstacles along the way. Mike, thank you for being on the show today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
First of all, like I said, that you've been a leader on immigration reform here in Indiana. You've also been very vocal in your support for Arizona's immigration law and of Governor Brewer. What's your reaction to the judge's ruling on the Arizona law out there?
Let me say something first about Governor Brewer. I think Governor Jan Brewer is a national hero for not only standing up for what I believe is right and correct, but standing up for the citizens that duly elected her to be the governor and the chief executive of the state of Arizona. The Arizona statute, as I understand it, does two things. It takes existing federal law, some of which has been on the books for over 60 years, and puts it into state statute. The second thing it does is it takes a 1968 Supreme Court case where we got this reasonable suspicion standard. This was decided by the Warren Court. Chief Justice Burl Warren is widely regarded as one of the most liberal chief justices we've had. But it takes that reasonable suspicion standard and it puts it in state statute. And so when you think about it, there's not a lot new in the Arizona state law. But the other reason why Governor Brewer is a hero and a national hero and somebody I hope aspires to to higher office, including the presidency, possibly, is because she did a commercial after she met with President Obama, where she really painted a picture that should concern, in my opinion, all American citizens, including all Hoosiers. And that is, she held a media availability 30 miles outside of the Arizona capital city of Phoenix, Arizona, but 80 miles north of the Mexican border, where she points to signs that were put up in that area of the desert by the Obama administration, where the Obama administration basically says, American citizens, stay away. We cannot ensure your safety or your security because of increased narco-trafficking and human smuggling. And for the federal government to concede American territory to a foreign power is just absolutely mind-boggling and wrong. And I think all of the federal government, including President Obama and the Pelosi and Reid Congress, needs to stand with the citizens of Arizona. They've got real issues. They've lost property. They've had citizens that have lost their lives because of the failure of the federal government to secure our borders, which is a key Article 1, Section 8 U.S. constitutional duty. And in the absence of them living up to their constitutional obligation, I think the state of Arizona and the governor have a right to do what they need to do to ensure the security of their people.
Senator Dell, we have seen, and actually just before you came on, we played a clip of Congressman Burton addressing the House and talking about the inconsistencies in our federal government that actually date back at least to the 80s in regards to sanctuary cities, and what we see now with the federal government suing a state for enforcing federal law. I hope that there isn't a move in Indiana to make any sanctuary cities, but what do you think of that inconsistency?
Well, he's absolutely right to point that out, and we've had in our bill each and every year a provision that prohibits sanctuary cities. For your listeners that maybe not as familiar with it, sanctuary cities are where a local unit of government basically says, you know what, if you're illegally in the country, you can come to our community and we will not do anything impede your ability to exist here in our community because we think breaking federal law is okay. There's no question about it that there's a growing frustration amongst Republicans at the federal level of government. I can tell you, serving in the state legislature, there's a very strong, growing concern, not only with the Congress, but with the President, regarding their ineptitude with doing their job. They have a constitutional obligation and duty to stand up, and we need to hold them accountable.
Mike, like I said before, you've been a leader on immigration reform in the Indiana State Senate. You've put forward a couple bills in the last couple of sessions that really haven't gone anywhere, but with immigration...
That's not true at all.
I'm sorry. Well, they've been stonewalled by a
higher percentage of votes. The first year that we passed the bill, it went to the House and we got it to conference committee. And then the second and third year, Pat Bauer decided to send that to the graveyard of bills to Earl Harris's committee. So,
well, I apologize. That's
Senate, but we haven't been able to get it out of the Democratically controlled House.
I apologize. That's kind of that's what I meant to say. Is that when I say they get basically defeated by a obstructionist speaker.
Well, Senator Delph, Mike Czerski here. All I can say is the good ideas always come out of the Senate, and they go to die in the House.
Well, that's very true. That's one of the reasons why we gotta have a good election cycle in November.
Well, we need Brian Bosman in there.
Okay. Well, tell me, what can we expect from you in regards to immigration reform in the next session of the Indiana General Assembly?
obviously, and we're keeping an eye on what the Congress, Senator Biden, Senator Lugar, decide to do. It's our hope that they will live up to their constitutional duties, but in the absence of doing so, we will introduce a bill that's tailored to the needs of the citizens of Indiana in January, for now the fourth year in a row.
Well, to switch gears on you here a little bit, if you're a fan or if you're a friend of Mike Delp's on Facebook, you've been seeing lately that he's been very vocal against U.S. Senator Richard Lugar's support of Elena Kagan to be the next justice on the United States Supreme Court. And his support of Kagan has been very disappointing to a number of Hoosiers. Mike, what has led you to be very dissatisfied with Senator Lugar's move to support Kagan?
Well, this is one of the most important roles that the United States Senate holds, and that's known as the Article 2, Section 2, advice and consent power. The President of the United States is allowed to put forward judicial nominees who he deems most appropriate to serve at different levels of the federal bench. And when he does so, it's up to the Senate to take those recommendations and validate them through the advice and consent process. And as I understand it, what that means, they're supposed to not only look at their credentials, but they're also supposed to look at their background, their values, and make sure that they're in sync with the people that you represent as a United States Senator. And I think in the case of Elena Kagan, as was, I believe, the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, clearly these nominees are outside the mainstream of most Hoosiers. In the case of Elena Kagan, I think she's a radically anti-life person. She's hostile to the Second Amendment, and she's got a record of being hostile to our military. And I just don't think that is a worldview that's in step with most Hoosiers, and my concern with Senator Lugar is, rather than standing up for the citizens of Indiana and the values of Indiana, he's decided to become a rubber stamp for the Obama administration, which I believe is very unfortunate.
Well, I believe I saw a comparison of the records of Senators By and Lugar, and they were almost identical. Basically, that, you know, Lugar's record has become more and more liberal as he's gotten more and more older. And that is very discouraging to a number of Hoosiers. And I know that there has been a growing movement, at least a vocal movement, of someone to hopefully challenge Senator Lugar, who is up for re-election in 2012, or hopes that he retires, one of the two. You know, I think people would be happy either way.
I think a lot of the people across Indiana have a great deal of admiration for Senator Lugar, as do I. But in the case of these Article 2, Section 2 duties, I just think that he's misreading the intent of our founding fathers, the advice to consent obligation and duty of the Senate. Never was intended to mean a rubber stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So he is perfectly capable of saying, you know what, this is the nominee from the president, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But as we engage and study the qualifications in the background of these candidates, if they're completely out of step with the people I represent in Indiana, then I can't support them. And in this case, as was the case with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, he said, I'm going to just go along with the president. And I think most people that voted for President Obama from Indiana that are considered either more conservative or independent, I think are starting to have serious buyer's remorse, because the hope and change that he promised had nothing to do with the socialism that's descended upon our nation's capital.
Well, Mike, as we've come to the end of our segment here, I want to thank you for being a guest on Gillespie. You are up for re-election this year, and for those of our listeners who are really connecting with Senator Delp here, Where can they find you? How can they be a part of your campaign? Excellent. Well, thank you again, Mike, for being a part of our show, and we wish you luck in your reelection. And thank you for being a fighter for Indiana values and for Indiana rights.
Well, thanks, Josh. I appreciate the sort of value that you might try to advocate on your show, and keep doing it. We'll be doing it in the same house.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
All right, you people on the left and right coasts, listen up. If you want to know what your fellow conservatives in the heartland of America, or as you call it, the flyover country, are thinking, go to your web browser and look at HoosierAccess.com. There you will find out what is on the mind of conservatives from the crossroads of America. HoosierAccess.com is the source for news, opinion, and commentary from conservative minds in the heartland. Add HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today. You can also follow at Hoosier Access on Twitter and Hoosier Access on Facebook, and subscribe to this show and podcast forum on iTunes. That's HoosierAccess.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie. I want to thank you all for joining us for the second half hour of the show. We just finished an interview with State Senator Mike Delf of Indiana.
Boy, Mike is he's one of probably the best state senators we have in the state legislature.
He's a dynamo.
And probably one of the best ever.
He's definitely one of the most conservative, and he's definitely been carrying the conservative mantle. And like we said, that he's up for re-election this year. And you can check him out on Facebook. Go ahead. Mike is friends with everybody. Go ahead, friend Mike. He has a fan page as well.
He might soon bump into the 5,000 friend limit.
He might, but it's still worth it to try to friend Mike. And as we close the last segment, we were starting to talk to Senator Delf about a U.S. senator here in Indiana, Richard Lugar, who recently came out in support of Elena Kagan. And this past Sunday, we had a guest post, so to speak. Mike, you actually took a Facebook note that he wrote, but gave us permission to repost on Hoosier Access. And basically giving a quick summation of Senator Delf's opinion. And the reason he did that is because there is just growing concern about Senator Lugar here in the state, and basically he's been willing to work with the other party. And I think, you know, we understand working with the other party,
but being on the other party's side.
Well, the thing that Mike pointed out is that Senator Lugar's support of Elena Kagan has been seen as an act of statesmanship, and I believe that's an argument that Indy Star columnist Matt Tully put forward.
The liberal Matt Tully.
He's
left of center.
He's got his leanings. But as Mike went on to say, that those of us expressing concern are partisan. This is what the article said, that those of us are concerned are partisan and lack understanding of separation of powers and harbor sour grapes. Here's the thing. It's not about harboring sour grapes. Barack Obama was against the nominations of Chief Justice John Roberts and Sam Alito. Where was his act of statesmanship?
There wasn't any acts of statesmanship when it came to those two.
So you have to wonder, why does Senator Lugar feel the need to say that his support of Kagan is an act of statesmanship?
And, you know, since Lugar's been in there since 1976, he would have been on the front line of the Judge Bork hearings. Where was the statesmanship back then?
Exactly. You know, it was this past weekend. I saw on the Drudge Report that Senator Nelson, Ben Nelson of Nebraska,
of the Cornhusker kickback,
Cornhusker kickback came out against the nomination of Kagan. He will not be supporting her.
Really?
Yeah. And here we have Senator Lugar, one of the more esteemed senators in the U.S. Senate. I mean, I think that Hoosiers can at least acknowledge, and Republicans and just voters in general nationwide can understand how Senator Lugar is an esteemed senator. He has served there, for the most part, with dignity, has been a leader on foreign relations, worked hand-in-hand with President Reagan in taking down the communist regime of Russia, defeating it, and seeing the wall fall down in Berlin in 1989. I mean, Senator Lugar has always been a statesman. I think that's – when we look at him, we can say that about him. But this support for a senator or for a judicial nominee that as
not even a judge, just a lawyer.
Well, that's the funny thing is that Micah Clark of the American Family Association chapter here in Indiana, and I believe it was Senator Delf who originally pointed it out, that Judge Judy has more judicial experience than Elena Kagan, because before she got her bench, her show, she was actually a real judge, and we're not talking.
So was Judge Wapner. So was Judge. Name them all.
Well, exactly, and we're not talking about divorce court style judges. We're actually talking people who have had to deal with.
This is the highest court in the land, and at her, I mean, she's in her 50s, I believe. We can expect her to be there for the next at least 20 years.
And we already have one Supreme Court justice. I believe it was Justice Mike, help me out with this, who's already basically said that he is waiting until Barack Obama is finished being president. Was it Kennedy, or was it Kennedy who just recently stepped down?
No, it wasn't Kennedy who recently stepped down. It was Souter. S-O-U-T-E-R.
It's Judge Souter.
Yeah. Getting confused with that former congressman from Northeast Indiana.
Yeah, wait, I don't think Souter stepped down.
Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But there's a recent justice who said that he is foregoing any potential retirement until President Obama is finished. Whether that's one term or two terms, he's waiting it out.
I wouldn't blame him.
And, it's...
Now, here's something interesting I saw on Facebook, so take it for what it's worth. Someone posted on there that Elena Kagan, as the Solicitor General of the White House, had a hand in the numerous lawsuits that were filed shortly after the president's election by the birthers. And basically, because Ms. Kagan was able to get all these lawsuits tossed out of court, this nomination to the high court was a payback.
I don't know about that. I mean, frankly, let's be honest. I want to put this out there right now. The president's an American. He is born in the United States. I don't care what anybody else said. Frankly, these birther lawsuits are stupid and do nothing to promote the conservative cause. They just basically promote insanity is what they do amongst and only show conservatives to be idiots. You know what? Here's my thing on the president being an American citizen, a naturalized American citizen. To run for president, you can't tell me that we don't have every single agency that is involved in intelligence and spying and whatnot that hasn't done a background check on every single individual who is running for office.
Josh, come on, that's a conspiracy.
And regardless of conspiracy, my butt. It's a conspiracy
that's
that
just saying they say that it was just a conspiracy. The agencies covered it up so he could be president.
That's bullcrap.
I agree with that, but
and frankly, if it was federal agencies that covered it up, they were Bush federal agencies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So and then Republicans or a Republican administration is as much responsible for Barack Obama being president. And frankly, I do believe it is, but not for the reason that his birth certificate has been covered up. It's because of Bush's fiscal policies in his second term, and basically the way he handled his domestic agenda was just messed up. He had a bunch of yes men around him who told him everything was a good idea, and that led to a big financial disaster in 2008. And don't get me started. That's probably the one area where you don't want to get me started. But I mean, all this is to say is that we have a woman who will most likely be confirmed, who has as much experience as
less experience
as Harriet Myers. And remember the conservative outcry over Harriet Myers?
Oh, yes.
In the, what was the outcry?
And the even I thought Harriet Myers is a back. In fact, in the post that I made a couple weeks ago, calling for Luger's retirement or ouster via primary in 2012. Mm-hmm. When I said, look, Elena Kagan is far less not even anywhere near qualified to sit on the high bench. And to those who are sitting on the seats on the left who would say, yes, I'm only picking on her because she's a liberal, I said the same thing about Harriet Myers.
Harriet Myers had no
business.
No business being even a judicial nominee. But at the same time, I'll pay deference to the president that he's allowed to nominate whoever the heck he wants.
He can nominate, but the Senate does not have to confirm.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's what infuriates me. That's what infuriates you. That's what infuriates a number of Hoosiers and Americans nationwide that Senator Lugar has come out in support of Elena Kagan. And, you know,
the reason that, the president is entitled to his nominations.
Well, exactly. And we can agree that the president is entitled to his nominations.
He looks at it at the Senate as a rubber stamp and not Article 2, Section 2, as Senator Mike Delf states.
He states it. He quotes it. We don't have time to actually quote it. But
look it up for yourself.
And look it up for yourself. Article 2, Section 2 of the United States Constitution. And, you know, it's just frustrating. And I think as a Hoosier, even though you're from Illinois originally.
No. Oh, I'm from Indiana. No, I'm from the border town. Thank you very much.
You're from the region. As a native Hoosier, Mark as a native Hoosier, me as a native Hoosier, Christy, I believe
Mark's from Iowa.
I'm not a native Hoosier.
He's from Iowa. That's idiots out wandering around.
You Hawkeye. I don't know if we can take you anymore.
I am not a Hawkeye either.
You're from Iowa.
I don't like the Hawkeyes. They suck.
And on that note.
I didn't want to grow up in Iowa, but that's what was my choice.
All right. Well, that is Mark's opinion on the state of Iowa, not mine. We've reached the end of this segment. We'll be right back with this evening's Tuesday Evening Stupid. It's a three-for-all. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Gillespie. All right, I've been waiting for this entire week. And frankly, let me get it out of the way right now. I want to apologize to our listeners for not getting the poll up. But due to time constraints, I couldn't. And frankly, with all that we had going on this week in the realm of stupid,
had a lot of choices to make.
We had a lot of choices. So frankly, like I said, we're making this a three-for-all. And this week, we're talking, and if you can't guess about who we're talking, then you really haven't been paying attention. We're talking about Alan Grayson.
A perpetual candidate for stupid.
Absolutely. We're talking about Congressman Anthony Weiner from New York.
We will get to that in a minute.
And Senator John Kerry.
Help us, John Kerry. We are stuck in Iraq.
All right. Here's the thing. I'm going to start off with Alan Grayson real quick. All right. In case you haven't heard, and this is via Red State, via BigGovernment.com. U.S. Rep. Alan Grayson, if U.S. Rep. Alan Grayson were a rock star, his latest PR blitz, a DVD sent to tens of thousands, actually 100,000 to be exact, of Central Florida residents would be called Grayson's Greatest Hits. It's a 90-minute disc, a DVD he sent to constituents that highlights his first term in office. We're only talking 2 years here. So he had to put together a 90-minute DVD on his first 2 years, including one of him grilling Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, and other in which the Orlando Democrat preaches on the need to teach school children about the U.S. Constitution. That guy needs a lesson himself. The DVD comes wrapped inside a mailer covered with promotional slogans. Congressman Alan Grayson, hard at work for you. He works hard. He pays attention. He gets things done. And he charges you $73,000. For this DVD.
Franked
mail. Yes, $73,000 for the production of the DVD charged to taxpayers. And then sending a DVD out to constituents, 100,000 of them, also at taxpayer expense.
Which we don't have that number offhand.
Yeah, not offhand. That's that's something that I think you can eventually figure out. I'm not exactly sure. But I know you can, because I know that around here in Indiana they ding congressmen for how much they've spent in Frank Mail.
I would rather get Frank Mail that tells me what's going on, what's being voted on, and how it's working, than receive a DVD touting off your two years of service.
I could just see Andre Carson doing something like 7th Congressional District of Indiana, putting together a rap video and then sending that out to his constituents.
Well, you know, at least you'd have some rhythm. I'd give the good congressman from the central. don't. Oh my word. Let's not. I don't want you to do your DJ thing again. But that was funny. And so, okay.
Let's get to part two of the stupid.
Part two. Okay, we're going to play for you real quick the new Howard Dean.
Yeah! Gentleman from New York is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the distinguished gentleman from New York, Mr. Weiner.
Gentleman's recognized.
Great courage to wait until all members have already spoken and then stand up and wrap your arms around procedure. We see it in the United States Senate every single day where members say, we want amendments, we want debate, we want amendments, but we're still a no. And then we stand up and say, oh, if only we had a different process, we'd vote yes. You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order. Gentleman thinks that if he gets up and yells at him, he's going to intimidate people into believing he's right. He is wrong. The gentleman is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame. If you believe this is a bad idea to provide health care, then vote no. But don't give me the cowardly view that, oh, if it was a different procedure, the gentleman will observe regular order and sit down. I will not. The gentleman will sit. The gentleman is correct in sitting. I will not.
This is quite obviously not in order. General will suspend.
I will not stand here.
Gentleman is recognized.
And listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and then vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
I was watching C-SPAN the other night and saw this and thought, oh my God. And I tweeted it as soon as it happened.
It made me wish I had cable.
And, you could have tuned in on C-SPAN.com or C-SPAN.org. But, and I'm sitting there watching this thing go down, and I'm like, I just kept expecting him to drop the F-bomb right in the middle of the House floor. And what's so funny is the chairman, the speaker, was standing there tapping the gavel. We shall have order. And he was, you know, he was going ape S.
Yeah. He was absolutely just
ballistic.
Yeah. He went off his rocker. And whenever that it was a point of order, I believe. I honestly can't remember with all the machinations of the House floor. I'm not exactly sure what exactly he was doing other than apparently yelling at Republican members, while the acting speaker, as you said, yes, was gently tapping the gavel.
Shall have order.
But he was saying that to the Republican. That's the thing. The speaker was referring to the Republican because Anthony Weiner, Congressman Weiner, and that is how you say his name. I'm not joking here. It was speaking, and you can shout and flail and do whatever the heck you want as long as it is your time. And if someone tries to
shout you down,
well, interject, that is considered out of order.
Mark, well, I think that whole thing was just plain out of order.
Yeah, the whole thing was. Mark, did you see this?
Which one was that?
The Anthony Weiner video.
Oh, yes. And did you like my old school Friday post on Hoosier Access?
Yes. In fact, that was our intro song for those of you who may not have heard Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne or Black Sabbath, I guess, in this case, is dedicated. And frankly, Alan Grayson, who is consistently crazy, is joined this week by Alan Grayson for this week's total crazy. You know,
well, no offense to Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath, of course.
Absolutely none. But I think that their song is
fitting.
It's absolutely fitting. And of course, we'd be remiss if we did not forget, if we did not mention the good Senator John Kerry.
Help us, John Kerry. We are stuck in Iraq.
Well, here's from rightpundits.com. Senator John Kerry's yacht Isabel is moored in Rhode Island. This wouldn't be a big
Quahog.
It's
who would name your yacht?
Have you seen? I encourage everyone to check out the Washington Examiner and search for John Kerry, because they showed the clip from The Daily Show of John Stewart talking about this. And it was hilarious because he goes on and on about the name that he gave, that John Kerry gave to his boat. And trust me, he didn't, according to John Stewart, he did not name it Isabel, but it's worth checking out. Anyway, the fact that he moored it in Rhode Island wouldn't be a big deal, except for the fact that John Kerry is a senator from Massachusetts, as we all know. The thing is that in 1993, Rhode Island abolished its boat sales and use tax, making it a target for anyone wishing to escape high taxation for the purchase and use of a luxury yacht like Senator Kerry's. We know it, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, it's right there. And so to avoid the taxation, the heavy taxation of Massachusetts.
Taxachusetts.
As it's commonly known, you know.
Got to pay for that free health care that everybody's getting in Taxachusetts.
That's right. Speaking of free health care, did you see that Snooki down there in Miami from the Jersey Shore? I don't watch this Jersey Shore, but she's a little bit upset over the tanning tax. But, of course, again, the people from the Jersey Shore.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
They could self-finance the health care bill for as often as they get tanned because of the tanning tax. Anyway, she could also qualify as an honorary stupid just because she's an idiot. And the whole cast is actually an idiot. Mark, have you ever seen this Jersey Shore?
I have never watched it.
Fortunately, I have never. I haven't either.
That would be half an hour or an hour I'd never get back.
You know what? What's funny is that when on its opening night, Twitter was a buzz of people who were watching it for the first time, and it was hilarious. There was a tweet. I cannot pull it up right now because it's too far down, and it'll take me too long to find. But it was a tweet from a good friend of ours, Jacob Perry, down in Florida. He said that he caught 5 minutes of the Jersey Shore, 5 minutes he couldn't get back. and it was then that he understood how Barack Obama could get elected.
Yeah. Lowest common denominator.
Exactly. So, frankly, you know, it all works. You know, this whole segment is just so filled with stupid, it has me flustered. So, again, to recap, this week's Tuesday Evening Stupid is threefold brought to you by Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida, Congressman Anthony Weiner of New York, and Senator John Kerry of
Massachusetts.
And for good measure, Snooki.
Jersey Shore.
Thank you. I'd already forgotten the name of it because I think it's just so ridiculous. Anyway, that kind of brings us to a close here. I want to give you guys a rundown here in this last minute that we have. We have a great lineup here on FTRradio.com, and it's something that you want to check out every Tuesday night because it's a powerhouse lineup. We follow the Aaron Proctor Show directly follows us. And frankly, guys, if you haven't listened to the Aaron Proctor Show, he starts every show. Every episode of the Aaron Proctor Show starts off with the Star Spangled Banner. If you don't stand up and put your hand over your heart, you're un-American. That's all I'm saying.
You need to leave the country now.
That's right. I'm waiting for the day when Aaron actually opens the show with Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Now that would be cool.
That would be very cool.
That would be maybe something we could try.
Well, I don't want to be taking Aaron's thunder away, but it's something to think about. Followed by Duke Over America follows Aaron Proctor at 9 o'clock. Smart Girl Report with Jenny Erickson at 10 p.m. And, of course, every night on FTR Radio, FDRradio.com, the Armchair Energist. So that does it for this week's episode of Gillespie. I want to thank my crew, Christy Kelly, Mark Warner, and of course, Mike Jazerski, always making sure that sound runs smoothly. And Mark, thank you for calling in over Skype. We appreciate it. And that does it for us this week. We'll see you again next week. Tune in to Gillespie every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on FDRradio.com. Stay tuned for Aaron Proctor.